Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Hello. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Hour.
There was a lot of cheering there, but I have a question. I think we need more... A bigger crowd for our intro.
we have to get more people in there.
Did you see Facebook?
Do you hear Aunt Lisa there?
I hear Lisa. Yeah.
I almost called you Aunt Lisa. That's really
Aunt
funny.
Aunt Lisa.
Yeah, well, because
to my kids,
she's always Aunt Lisa.
I am Silent Jesse's Aunt Lisa.
That's funny. Well, of course, Silent Jesse had to run out, and she'll be back in a minute. But welcome. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Dude Scott, and I want to approach the issue about the crowd on our
Lisa
intro.
Lisa, introduce herself.
Lisa.
May I say, good Lisa. Morning, everyone, from Green Diva Lisa.
She's out there. Where are you now, Lisa?
I posted on my Facebook, but I was trying to get it over to the Green Diva, and I'm technically challenged to show you a picture of where I am talking to you from today. I am in Lake Placid at my beautiful friend Margot Fish's camp on the lake, which is what they call the homes that they build on the lake here. I cannot describe the magic of this place, but I'm sitting in the concert hall of Paraclete, which is a place that she has built to gather creative people all summer long for musical concerts and poetry readings. And
wow. So somehow we've got to figure out how to do a remote show from there.
Oh, we should.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
We
it's
live there.
Just magic.
For years.
And I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be able to share it with you all. So at some point, I will get the picture from where I'm speaking to
Good.
You from on our Green Diva Facebook.
Well,
which,
at the very least, I can copy it and do it.
Is Green Diva Radio Show on Facebook.
Oh, thank you for the plug. She's good. Now, Scotty, what were you going to...
Well, you know, we lived there, and I lived there as a young boy.
Oh,
Northwood
you did.
School.
I forgot about
my
that.
My father taught.
I forgot about that.
So I was home for a long time.
It's a nice place to live with nature.
I was young.
And experience nature, isn't it?
I was with a bunch of, you know, college
did
kids.
Did you ski
or pre-college
when
kids.
You were little?
Of course I did. I had my little tiny Rossignols that were probably about 2.5 feet long.
Now, what were you going to complain about when we opened the show?
The crowd.
There?
It's not big enough. Have you looked at our numbers on Facebook? Look at our numbers on Facebook.
They're getting there.
They're huge. So we need a bigger crowd.
Well, yeah, I love our fans. I just want to say that right now. And we're growing a really fun Green Diva family here and Green Dudes. But we could
and
always
I'd like
use
to second
a few
that.
More.
Some of the comments that we've been getting have been so much fun to respond to. And they're all over the place. In terms of information and commentary. Thank you so much for joining in on the conversation.
Well, now that you mention that, and a little bit, I'm just going to run down what we have coming up for the show real quick. And one of the things that I want to do is we have listener email. And we had a very significant email comment last week from someone about our GMO discussion, which really, that created a lot of
oh, there's so much to be said
comments.
About the whole issue. There
right,
is.
But one that was very specific to the show that I thought I'll share, but not right this minute. I'm just letting you know that we do appreciate our listener email and Facebook messages. This woman found us at info@thegreendivas.com.
Yeah, interact with us. We will answer questions and certainly respond to anything that you have to say. So.
We're interactive divas and dudes.
Yes.
Green divas and dudes. Anyway.
Which also leads me to encourage people to come to the website. Now, I don't know if you've said that already.
No, I haven't, so go
but
ahead.
But our website and blog is thegreendivas.com, and that's T-H-E, greendivas.com.
She's getting really good at that, you know?
Good.
She could have a...
wandering...
she could be our
wandering
promo,
diva.
our wandering promo diva. Anyway, I just want to take a moment to mention our online partners who are doing a wonderful job in helping us grow our Green Diva and Dude family. We've got care2.com, Earth Drink. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. What is that? EatDrinkBetter.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio, and they play our vignettes on their show on Sundays in Tucson, WKVOI, 5:30 Sundays in Tucson, Arizona. FeelGoodStyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio, GDreadRadio.net, and they rebroadcast the show Sunday morning 7 a.m. and Tuesdays 9 a.m. Now, today, we have like a really busy roster. We have Green Diva correspondent Nomi Lyons. And for those of you who don't know Nomi, she's fascinating. She's calling in from Canada, the west coast of Canada.
Canada.
And she is just so interesting. She does a sort of eco-fun cabaret. She's a cabaret singer and dancer.
An eco-cabaret.
Well, she actually has a kind of controversial name. Oh. You remember we interviewed her. Weren't you with us when we interviewed
her
last
time? I think I do remember her, yes. And
she has an interesting name that gets her into trouble, but, you know,
that's
it's...
Right. That's
remember?
Right. All the controversy.
Right.
But it works.
But she's really interesting. And so, anyway, she's calling in with a report from what's going on in the west coast of Canada. And I think she might be on an island, and I can never remember, and I can't find it written down. So we'll ask. Our interview guest, feature interview, is Graham Hill, who was the founder and CEO of TreeHugger.com and also an executive with Planet Green.
He's the boss tree hugger.
He's the boss tree hugger. But he's now got this new wonderful, wonderful site called LifeEdited.com. Which,
I can't wait to talk to him about that.
I know. We were pretty excited about that. So, and Life Edited, it's all about kind of, reducing our lifestyles, reducing the stuff, being less consumer-driven.
Stuff.
Less,
we have a lot of stuff.
You know?
Yeah. Big stuff, expensive stuff.
I think he's onto something with that. And let's see. I got a couple of new, our little green light, short and sassy vignettes. Those are fun. I have so much fun with those. But I just want to mention that I've been posting at least one new one a week on our website. And anybody that wants to just go hear a one and a half minute vignette from us, they can do that. Well, they're mostly from me at this point, but we'll get you all involved soon. And, okay, breathing, because we got a lot. I mean, it's hard to take a breath
here.
We got
to get going.
I know. And then
we
got kids graduating this weekend.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I know. All kinds
of fun. Speaking of weather, I liked a little break between the break of the last show and our show with the little weather montage there, all the songs of weather. And I was just thinking about last night. It was a beautiful day, and then the storms rolled in, and they were rough. And graduation for my son was outside, which really was not a good idea.
What was that like? 500 people scattering?
500 people, and I saw that those dark clouds rolling in, and sure enough, it poured.
Well, the lightning was crazy because Wayne had to actually, he was on a golf course when it started. and I got this text that said panic mode, and I thought, what is he talking about? And he said golf course, and I was seeing lightning just, you know, striking down. And I thought it went on for a while.
Well, I just have an image of, you know, Bill Murray and what movie was that?
Caddyshack?
Caddyshack.
With the priest.
I had that image yesterday. I drove through a golf course to get back over to the lake, and this groundhog scurried across the road. And I said, does Bill Murray come to mind?
Yeah.
And
Gophers.
So not only was I thinking of Caddyshack, but it occurred to me that he did Groundhog Day, so he's got two Groundhog movies.
Oh, he's got the thing going on with the groundhog.
Groundhog and Gophers.
I hadn't thought of that before.
What's
yesterday.
That about? Well, now we've burned up our BS time already. That's pretty amazing. I think Nomi's on the line, and if I can do this properly, Nomi.
Meg.
Wow.
It worked. I'm so excited to have Mike here because things work.
Yeah, but you have your headset on. That voice came from up above.
Oh,
almost
for you, yeah.
Almost heavens for me. I was like, wow.
That's funny. How are you?
I'm well. I'm a little sleepy, but I'm well.
Yeah, I told everybody you're on the west coast of Canada there, and I wanted to ask specifically where you are because for some reason I didn't have it written down.
Oh, I'm on a little island called Salt Spring.
And it's 7:40 in the... Or no, it's...
7:09, as a matter of fact.
Well, aren't you...
But on my computer.
Aren't you a Green Diva trooper this morning? So you're not traveling with your cabaret right this minute?
I am not. Okay. I'm on Salt Spring, going to meetings, and actually going to have some fun. I just had I'm on the board for the Gay Pride event out here on Salt Spring. There's about 20 people in it. No.
Do you have a large population there on the island then?
It's about 10,000, and I guess this is their seventh parade, which is exciting. First time I'm involved, and of course, you know, because I do cabaret, so I have a bit of a following in West Hollywood and San Francisco. And so now I'm Salt Spring, so I'm going from being the yogi that people know and the and the environmentalists to seeing, letting them see a little different side of me.
Oh, that'll be fun.
It will be fun. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Now, I know you're involved in a lot of the environmental stuff going on the island. Do you want to give us a rundown of what you're doing?
Well, I'm on several boards. I'm on our residential neighborhood board, as well as what's called the Cushion Lake Stewardship Committee. And right now what's happening with that is we are trying to implement a, and when I say we, I don't mean me, I mean the island.
The royal we?
The royal we. Well, we've actually had this this mandated about 7 years ago to help protect the riparian area, riparian areas. So there's all these regulations that were implemented about 7 years ago, but here on Salt Spring, we're kind of the last bastions of the West because we have a completely different governmental system than anywhere else in Canada.
Oh,
really?
It's a little bit political here. They call us 10,000 people, 30,000 opinions, or 30,000 opinions surrounded by water. You know,
that's funny.
Yeah, so basically it's a lot of different factions trying to do what they still want to do to their own land, which I totally understand, but the other issue is the fact that we all need water to live. And so the developers and people who've been here for hundreds of years, their families have been here for hundreds of years, feel that these are not a good thing, and there's signs all over the islands, you know, warning people against how a ditch is suddenly a stream, and you know, if it has fish-bearing potential, etc. So right now it's a very political time here on the island, and the whole island literally is, I would say, split in two. It's kind of a microcosm of what's going on in the world. People don't want to make changes.
It does sound like it is exactly what's going on all over the world.
Yeah, and, you know, we had our embarrassing situation in Vancouver the other night with the hockey game.
Right. You're crazy hockey fans, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think it was people from Vancouver. I think there was, I understand, actually, well, I don't want to digress too much here, but my whole point is that people are very fearful of, oh my gosh, my way of life is going to change. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, that's understandable for everybody. Nobody wants to give up what they've fallen in love with.
Well, people, and some of it is a matter of convenience and, please, I don't want to be inconvenienced and I don't want to lose any style. And, of course, that's what we're all about, trying to help people find easy ways to get into the kind of greener lifestyle in style.
Yeah, without giving up what they are comfortable with.
Well, Nomi represents this beautifully as a you know, an entertainer, and you're a yogi, an entertainer, and I think you do a really wonderful job of doing it in style.
You. I'm trying. I'm not looking too stylish at the moment in my red jammies that don't even match. So.
I'm still in my jammies too.
See, now I have to. Yeah, I'm not in my jammies.
That's all right. But could you tell us a little bit more about your show?
Oh, about my show. Well, I was very excited. I finally have a new name. I think it had just happened when I had quite a volatile reaction from the name of my show before I did the workshop.
Right.
My husband has a very loving term of endearment for me called, he calls me an eco-Nazi.
And he means well, we know.
That was the name of my cabaret show, Cabaret Confessions of, and it got quite a reaction. So rather than, I don't need to have to try to win people over, I want to already have them there on the side. So somebody came up with this wonderful term last night at our meeting, and it was, an ecoholic.
That is great.
Very good.
And you know, I don't think I've heard that anywhere, and I should know. You know, that would be, I just love it.
Naomi, you better run with that one.
You better go trademark that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to be honest, it was somebody who'd heard this term somewhere else. So it's coming out, so to speak, which is very appropriate for the people who were at the meeting last night.
That's funny.
But it's... I really like it because it's still a little bit edgy and it's funny, and I don't think it's going to offend anyone.
No, it's not. And, no. And now tell me, are you going to be on the road back in the States again soon?
I am. My intention is to do, again, because that was more of a workshop performance that I did, and I've got a few shows here. Don't have specific dates yet. I'm still working on that. But so I'm going to do the west coast of Canada, so Vancouver, Victoria, and a little tiny town called Duncan. And then we're going to go to the tar sands homeland and go to Calgary and Edmonton, which should be very interesting. And then down to the west coast again of California.
Can you give us a website so our listeners can find you?
Sure, absolutely. It's NomiLyons.com. That will be changing because I've just met with a new marketing person, and we're going to combine it now actually with my yoga website, which is ParadiseFoundYoga.com. I'm taking a year off of that, so sort of. I'm doing a solstice event here on Tuesday, which will be fun, but I'm really trying to fill my own cup and take care of my own health, and because I've been doing a little bit too much.
Yeah, well.
It does sound like you've been busy.
Yeah, so it's really wonderful. I'm getting to go to wonderful beekeeping events, and George Monbiot is speaking here later today via satellite. So, you know, I can still be involved in the environmental movement.
Excellent.
We need it.
We have to wrap up, but yes. we will get, now I'm glad we woke you up. Now that you're up, you can.
Oh, I was awake.
Now, I know. And then you'll be on again in July. I'm not sure. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but
okay.
I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Me too, Meg. Well, thank you so much for calling, everybody.
Thanks. No. All right. Well, we're going to go to a break now, and everybody, just stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Thanks, Nomi.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenade makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at Greenade.co.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Do you want a low-stress Green Diva kitchen? Find out how coming right up. Are you a foodie or eco-fashionista, or just curious about matters relating to sustainable food and eco-style? Important Media has some of the best blogs on the internet for practical and easy-to-use information from some of the most experienced green bloggers on the internet. Join the Green Divas on two of our favorites, EatDrinkBetter.com and FeelGoodStyle.com, and learn and share more about easy green living. Find out about all the Important Media blogs at ImportantMedia.com. A Green Diva's kitchen is yummy, healthy, earth-friendly, and low stress. Here are just a few ways to make your kitchen a Green Diva kitchen. Use cloth napkins. They don't take any more energy to clean. Use eco-friendly sponges and reusable cloths for cleanup. Always use food-safe, non-toxic, and biodegradable cleaning products. Minimize garbage output by composting. Even if you don't have a garden, I bet you have a neighbor or community garden that can use it. Also, reduce garbage by recycling all that crazy food packaging. When food shopping, remember your reusable bags and try to buy products with minimal or recyclable packaging.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott. I'm sure
something happened. Welcome back. Thanks for hanging with us this morning. Beautiful Saturday morning.
It's about time.
Yeah, we got a lot. Lisa, are you still there?
I am still here. Okay. Good morning and hello again.
Hello again.
So are you on the Lake Placid?
I am on the Lake Placid.
Is it very placid?
It is this morning. It's been, we've had quite a bit of weather ourselves up here. I'm up in Lake Placid attending the Lake Placid Film Forum. Is an organization that's been around now for, a film festival that's been around for 11 years that I helped get started and coordinated for the first 4 years of its life.
Really? And they're trying to make you work up there, I bet, right?
Pardon?
They're trying to make you work up there?
I was just going to sneak up, visit friends, watch some movies, but I have been put into action. I'm going to be presenting a couple films. And
any standouts for the film festival?
There was actually a really fun film I watched yesterday called Letters from the Big Man. And it's a wonderful concept about a woman who lives in the woods. She's a hydrologist, I believe is what they call it, a woman who studies, a researcher who studies water.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes deep into the woods on a research project, and she feels herself being followed around. Turns out Sasquatch is following her.
Awesome.
And she starts to develop a relationship because apparently...
Wait a minute, like,
is it a love story?
Yeah.
Not a love story. Well, you know, of sorts, but not what you're thinking.
Okay.
Loving the Sasquatch.
There, apparently, the legend goes that Sasquatches can communicate with you almost telepathically, where you can sort of hear their voice in your head and know what they think.
Oh, great.
And they have a way of sort of controlling you, whether they feel safe with you or not. So he's followed her around, and he feels safe, and he's starting to semi-communicate with her. And
interesting.
It's a fascinating and fun little story. I really liked it.
Yeah, you did post something like that if people want to go to Lisa's
Facebook,
or just, I guess, the film forum, the Lake Placid Film Forum website,
dot
I'm sure,
com.
Dot com has it listed. So we don't have a lot of time to mess around. I just want to kind of reintroduce, you know, you're on with the Green Divas, Green Diva Megan.
Green Dude Scott.
Green Diva Lisa.
Uh-huh.
See, I know, we're not in the same room, so we can't, like, you know.
I'm going to push her
and
button.
And I've never called myself Green Diva Megan before in my life.
I'm going to push her button if she keeps doing it.
Oh, yeah, you better watch it. He can reach the buttons here. I'm Green Diva Meg. I don't know why I used my formal name. I was, like, freaking myself out. Anyway, find us on Facebook because we're having fun being interactive, and that's just the Green Divas radio show. And you can follow me. I'm getting more and more people following me on Twitter, which is entertaining because I don't know who they are, at Green Diva Meg. And the rest of it is the blog, thegreendivas.com.
Sure
there we go.
Is.
Okay, enough with the plugging?
No.
Yes, let's carry on.
All right, carry on. Eco-Geek, we have an Eco-Geek tech segment prepared by Green Dude Scotty.
Really?
I'm so excited.
I know.
I thought we were going to drop the geek thing.
Yeah, I kind of like
but
it.
But that's all right. That's all right. No, I think one of the things that's on everybody's mind these days is staying cool. Of course.
You mean groovy?
Cool like in, I'm hot. I need to cool off my house. But, of course, as we know, air conditioners use a great deal of energy.
Yeah.
Now, I won't lie. I love air conditioning on a hot day.
Well, yeah.
But it's important that you have, a good, a fairly recent model. They've become a lot more energy efficient than they used to be.
You got your Energy Star models.
Oh, absolutely, right? And they're all rated. And don't buy this monstrous thing if you don't need it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That does happen often where people buy bigger machines than they need.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, consider your square footage, and it says on the models when you buy them what area they will cover.
Yeah. And they are pretty good because we actually have a smaller one that would have been under-recommended or whatever, undersized for our room. And it does a fine job for our downstairs.
If you have central air, it's important that you have it maintained and that you get your ducts cleaned occasionally.
Get your ducts in a row?
Yeah, get your ducts clean.
Yeah, sure.
But if you can, go without it. There's a lot of ways to keep your house cool without doing that. A lot of people get the impression that they need to open up all their windows and let the air flow. And actually, that's the wrong way to do it. You want to pull your shades, close your windows, pull your shades. In your southeast facing, windows, and during the day, keep them closed.
There's an issue. Do I know where my southeast windows are in my house?
You do, because the sun comes up every morning.
Sun rises in the...
No, I really have issues with that. I'm directionally challenged.
Okay.
It really is as simple.
Most women are, actually.
Where the
it's
sun rises.
In the jeans.
Yeah, but I have so many trees around, Lisa, that's like I don't really know where the sun is coming up from. Seriously.
Does it come up differently in your house? Or?
Well, it's just that I'm surrounded by tall trees.
Well,
you can't see.
There you go. Now, not for nothing, but if your house is surrounded by trees... you either live in the woods or somebody planned your home, because what you want, if you can plan your landscaping, is you want deciduous, which is trees that pop out leaves every spring.
Yeah.
To shelter your home, or at least be on that side of the house so that you have shade.
We actually have our house is older, but the guy who last developed the house at all did an addition, and he did all of that very thoughtfully.
Right.
So my house is very cool in the summer if I don't open all the windows.
Right.
And in the, you know, I rarely use my air conditioning downstairs. And then in the winter, you know, all the sun comes in at a different angle.
Right, because the leaves
really
go away
works.
In the wintertime, and then you get that sunshine. It's a great way to go. But in the evening, then you open up all those windows, especially on the top, you know, top end of your house. And the heat, you know, whatever heat is built up in the house will dissipate and pull cooler air in, the evening air in. Ceiling fans, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we use our ceiling fans to help move the air around, especially like we put the air conditioning on low and then use the ceiling fans to help move it.
Scotty, I wanted to tell you about what our other sister Jenny does as well. She actually has a good old-fashioned attic fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love
it.
Sucks the air.
You know, we would open the windows when it's cool out. You open the windows on the first floor only, just for a part way, and you put, you know, open a window in each room. So it draws, you turn that attic fan on, and it's like air. It just pulls this cool breeze through the house. And then, of course, when the air is warm outside, you stop that process. But it's a wonderful way to cool a house off.
Yeah,
we had
that's
that
true.
At the house on Intervale.
Yeah.
My grandparents had
that.
And it
one.
Was a big monster fan. I mean, I remember as a little kid being scared to death of the fan.
It is kind of like, whoosh,
you'd flip the switch.
Whoosh,
and you'd push
whoosh.
It, right, you'd stand in the attic, you know, stairway and flip the switch, and you could feel the air being pulled up. And, of course, as a little kid, I was like,
you know,
sucked up the stairs.
The other thing that I always wondered about, if you know, I went down to Thomas Jefferson's farm, you know, big
Monticello?
Estate, and one of the things...
Is it Monticello or Monticello?
...that we never use anymore...
Don't play it.
...is the two-paned window.
Yeah.
Where it you open it a little bit at the top and a little bit at the bottom, and the windows are tall, so the hot air goes out from the top of the room, and the cool air comes in from the bottom of the room.
He was brilliant, that guy.
We all have these windows, and nobody, you know, none of the...
I don't think he ever slept.
...from the top anymore.
No, you're right, and we're talking. Is it Monticello or Monticello?
Monticello.
In Monticello.
Monticello.
I've never been there, and I've always wanted
Monticello.
To go. See, I don't know.
Okay, readers and
somebody,
listeners, let's hear
let
about
us know.
It. I want to know for
how
sure.
How do you pronounce Monticello?
But this is one of the things that, you know, Graham Hill can talk about too, is designing your living space.
Well, yeah.
Because you know what, you know, even that. I mean, it's huge.
Practical design is so important, and we've gotten so kind of far off that trail because we've become obsessed with design and beauty and status and things.
And speaking of design and beauty, the house I first lived in when I moved into Austin, the architect and the engineer was so brilliant. They had their registers under, like, at baseboard height, so the returns. And that house was so well built that our energy bill was $50 a month, no matter what time of year it was.
Wow.
And of course, in Austin,
we run
air conditioning all the time.
Yeah.
And in the winter, Larry would keep the heat on. You know, so we particularly with air conditioning.
So you didn't suffer.
And it was a 4-bedroom house, and we only spent $50 a month.
That's awesome.
Oh, you know what I love is the geothermal systems.
Well, let's not. All right, that's a whole show there. Okay.
I mean, that's what a great way to go.
It is amazing, and I got to visit one. But I want to wrap this one up, this segment up, because then we're going to go to Green Diva Lisa's doing a repurposing segment.
Actually, today was I was going to do the beauty.
Oh,
today.
I thought we did
How
that all last week,
beauty?
Didn't we? Whatever you're
well,
prepared for.
Well, I wanted to give a shout-out. I apologize for that. That's my fault for being not
classic,
technically connected this week. So, but what I would like to do is a shout-out for the folks at Urban Muse. I don't know, you know, when I first, I've been doing the Aubrey, checking out the Aubrey products, and I apologize for shifting the subject here. And just as a caveat, I'm very low maintenance with beauty products, and so I'm usually, you know, I don't use too many, so it's been interesting for me to try these. But I wanted to talk about the Aubrey products, and what I used this past week was their massage oil, and I had the beautiful benefit of going to the Urban Muse, which is in Denville, and they helped me product test this massage oil.
Now, maybe I just want to clarify that it's Denville, New Jersey, and what kind of oil was it? Some kind of organic oil?
It was an organic oil called Natural Spa Sea Wonders Relaxing Massage Oil.
How could you go wrong?
How do you broad test it?
I know. Scott's like bitter over here.
Some massage oils are better than others. And I was invited to have a massage by the wonderful Miss Joy over at Denise Joy over at the Urban Muse. And that's, by the way, theurbanmuse.com.
Now, look, when these things come up, I want to be included in product testing.
I know. He's over here with a big frown on because he's been neglected.
Well, I would love to talk to you a little bit about the Urban Muse folks because the two women, the sisters that started it, and there's a whole little segment on our blog about them, but Kristen and Tracy used to be graphic designers that worked in New York City, and they, when 9/11 happened, they reevaluated, as we all did, or most of us did, what was important in life, and that drove them to leave the city, move out to Denville, and start this wonderful spa. And the things that set this spa apart from other spas is when you sign up for 60 minutes, you actually get 60 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but every other spa I go to, you get 50 or 55 minutes.
Right.
So that was brilliant. And the other thing that I really appreciated about them is that they take care of their staff. They give them a full half hour between each of their therapy sessions so that they can recover, or if they need to spend a little more time with their clients, they have the ability to do that as well. And all of that trickles down to the clients themselves so that we get the benefit of everybody being rejuvenated and all of that. And the one other thing that sets them apart that I would love to tell our listeners about is once a week they have a workshop for cancer patients, patients who are in treatment or just 1 year out of treatment.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful I think it's pretty well known that massage can help.
Oh, healing
touch.
It's
not just about massage. They do Reiki.
They learn
about Reiki healing, which they can do on themselves. And they do angel readings and some other things as well. I'm not sure about all the things they do. But so the difference that I learned about some of these massage oils is that there's a thing called how did she describe it? I'm forgetting the word. But some massage oils absorb so quickly that you have to keep putting more on. You know, the massage therapist has to keep putting more in their hands And this one lasted a nice long time. It glided extremely well, and it didn't absorb so fast that she didn't have to keep replacing it, which is great because you're not using as much, of course.
Yeah.
And you have a little more consistency in the massage itself.
So why is Scott making a face?
Denise.
I'm just thinking you slather that oil all over you, and you're all sticky when you're done.
No, it's not.
Well, it eventually absorbs,
Eventually.
And this is all an organic, natural product.
Okay,
so.
Clearly we have to set up Scotty with a massage.
Ooh, okay.
I'm a
willing participant, I can hear.
I'm going to be sliding out of the seat of my car and stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it does make a difference. The oil definitely makes a difference because if it's... I don't know if the word viscosity has any place in here.
NWY?
But if it is sticky and thick, then they have to keep reapplying it, or else you get like friction and whatever.
Friction.
If it makes sense. I'm not making any sense. It's been a long time since I had a massage.
Aww. All right, you go
first.
Well, I'm so glad. Yeah, no, I think we got to get Scott. He's over here with a big frowny face. Well, Lisa, that was a really rough assignment. I feel so sorry for you.
I'm so grateful to be able to take one for the team.
Yeah.
Well, thanks,
you can
Lisa.
Count on me. I am there for you.
I know.
Are you posting pictures up there, my little Lake Placid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did post a picture from where I'm sitting. I hope you got it. I hope you can share it. I didn't know how to put it on the.
I'll figure it out.
Diva site.
Well, just post some of. Main Street and the lake area. It's quite a nice area.
I know it is. Well, listen, we're going to go for a break. We're all going to be back in a few minutes with Graham Hill of treehugger.com and also from his new project, what is it, lifeedited.com?
Yes.
So stay tuned. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Green Divas Radio Hour. And we're just about to get on the air with Graham Hill, who's the founder of treehugger.com. And he's worked with planetgreen.com, but he's got a new project. And let me get him on the air. Hi, Graham.
Howdy.
How are you?
Hi.
Thank you for
I'm good. How are you?
Getting up early and I don't know. It's not early for you. You're not in California.
You're in New York,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
No, it's not early.
I got so many different callers. I don't know who's where, what's going on. You know, that's my life. But you've got a fun new project. First, I just want to say out loud in public that Graham is one of my, you know, green media, independent media heroes.
He's done a lot. Yeah.
And you're living it, which is really fun and inspiring. So
I like
thank
in his
you.
Bio that he schemes daily about how to help.
That's great. I'm a schemer.
Schemer.
We're schemers. Well, I like what he's scheming these days. And I living lifeedited.com. It's something that we've been talking about more and more because it's easy to get caught up. We get press releases all the time to review green products and stuff and gadgets. And sometimes we just say, wait a minute, stop. Why don't we just do a little bit about repurposing, reusing, and using less, living with less? So I'm going to shut up and let you tell me a little bit about what's going on with Life Edited and how you got that going.
All right. The last couple of years I've been pretty busy and pretty focused on Treehugger, and so I tried to get a little more focused on my own life and getting that together. And so I started looking at doing my own apartment, and it just got me thinking. So Life Edited is basically a project about less space and less stuff. And the genesis of it is largely that I think we've been trying bigger is better, and it hasn't been working for us on all fronts. And
no.
The average house size in the U.S. has gone from 1,000 square feet in the 50s to 2,500 square feet a couple of years ago, while our family...
Oh, I disconnected, Graham. I'm an idiot.
Well, I'm back on.
Scotty!
Hello?
Scotty disconnected Lisa. We totally screwed that up for everybody. Sorry, you know.
So I agree with him. Oh my God, with the McMansions,
we are thwarting everybody. Yes, I know, and I apologize, everyone. We're having too much fun pushing buttons. Mike's like, okay.
You might have launched a missile on that one.
I know. Well, you don't even know what you're doing over there. You can't see it, and like, boing, boing, boing. Oh my
ding,
God.
Ding, ding. Oh. Sorry. So
and
let's
Graham's
continue.
Probably still talking. The
he
poor
might
guy.
Be.
I hate to do that to him.
Well, let's go back to his bio because he's done a lot of things.
Yeah, he has.
And he's Discovery Planet. He's involved
Planet
with.
Green. Yeah, with Discovery. He's an executive with Planet Green.
I don't get the viral email thing.
Well, that's a marketing term. I know you don't like it, but, you know.
It says viral.
Well, that just means it spreads, which is, you know, good when you're trying to get the word out on something. You want it to spread,
so is
man.
It like spam?
No. Not like spam. Like viral. So, no, he's a very, very clever guy. And I think we got somebody back. Hello. Who do I have to apologize to on this line? Graham?
Oh, this is Graham. where did you lose me?
I'm so sorry. You were just talking about how having these McMansions and these, you know, these the larger dwellings and the more stuff is not making us any happier.
Okay, good. So that's the basic idea. So the last 50 years, we have 3 times the amount of space. We just have way more space and way more stuff. But we have a lot more debt. Environmental footprints are a lot larger, and we're not any happier. So I believe editing is the skill of the century, and that we need to, whether you're looking at your own, how you spend your time, the stuff that you own, the space that you inhabit, you want to think about that and sort of separate the wheat from the chaff. So most of us don't really want a four-hour movie. We want an hour-and-a-half movie. We like things that are edited down to the good stuff.
Well, in fact,
so
let's get...
proposing less but better.
Yeah, well, I mean, and realistically, even in a lot of cases now, it's down to 5 minutes.
Oh, right. You know? Well, the attention span, right. Certainly.
And you do. I know that I have started to really ask myself when I'm shopping for stuff, do I really need this? Mm-hmm. And can I get one that's already been used, or can I borrow it? Or, you know, and I like that. I was looking on your site and there was something. I'm sorry I'm jumping around now. But in the lifestyle, there was a couple of categories, editing space, product design. But then there was lifestyle design. And the sharing systems also really appealed to me. It's like this new way of thinking. I'm sure it's the way it used to be in many ways. But anyway, so I'm just running through
that. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, those are some of the key components to this. So you need to look at architectural design, how we're really smart about designing small spaces. And that can be making rooms multifunctional by smart furniture. Then product design, stuff that nests and stacks and stuff that's really space efficient, and then lifestyle design, understanding, it's a hard thing to do, you know, realizing, I seem to have 22 pairs of pants. How many do I really need? Probably six. Okay, how do I sort of go about that and get rid of them,
right.
And then how do I stay at that point? So sharing systems are, you're going to be hearing a lot more about those over the next upcoming years, and it is new, and the technology is allowing it to happen in a way that we just couldn't have in the past. But the basic idea is that we have a lot of things that we own that we don't use very much, and they take up space and they cost us money. And if we can design our way around that, then we can save a bunch of money and make things better for the environment and make us happier. So, so Zipcar is, basically a great example of car share. All of a sudden, you don't have one car. You have the option of many different cars, depending on the need. And you plan your travel a little more carefully, so you save yourself a bunch of money. And, you know, you don't have to do the repairs and the insurance, and you don't pay for gas. And so most people are looking for getting from A to B, and this sort of puts folks back on that and the stuff that you're not so interested in insuring and maintaining and all that, the company takes care of.
Now, I'm not sure which city it is, but I believe it's a city in Europe, and I don't know if it's Paris or London, that has a bicycle sharing system.
Lots of cities do. Hot five. This is Green Diva Lisa back on, by the way.
Sorry.
We got her back.
Lots of cities do. There are a ton of cities
around the world. You know, Montreal, Paris, Barcelona. There are a lot of them, and that's a great example. If you design a really smart system, then people will use it. So we will see sharing systems in tools, in transportation, in space, in sporting equipment, in kitchenware, you know, just all these things that you don't use very much of the time, and people are figuring out ways around it. So one example is Airbnb, which allows you to sublet, essentially, on a short-term basis, a spare room. And so, you know, their tagline is the biggest hotel in New York. So we'll sort of see sharing systems develop around all sorts of categories.
Well, I like that it's also community building, because it sort of forces you to become familiar with people who are at least interested. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times, sometimes the bicycle thing isn't personal, you know, but I know that there are communities that will have tool sharing. You mentioned that where, you know, I mean, really, how many times do you use your lawnmower or your snowblower where you could share it with your neighbors?
Well,
right.
Even governments have gotten into, sharing road departments and public works, and instead of every town having its own, you know, leaf sweeper, they're sharing it.
There's consolidation.
A lot of that, and of course, a lot of it, even personally, is to save money. It's ridiculous, you know, how many things are being used out there and spent.
But I like the idea that somehow we get together a little bit, and a little group of us decides, like, okay, hey, let's pool some of these resources and be smart about it. And in the process, we get to know each other a little bit, and we get to kind of have that sense of community, which I think is been dissipating for a while.
I mean, it is hopeful, and I guess you have to really look for like-minded people to share with, because you know, not everybody's going to be on the same page as far as what sharing is. But
Austin, Texas, my roommate and I actually have rented, because I'm traveling so much, my roommate and I have rented my room out through Airbnb, and she's met some interesting people that way as well.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes. So if you need a room in Austin, go on Airbnb in Hyde Park.
I had never heard of it until just this moment. That is so interesting. That, you know, well, see, I'm learning. I hope our listeners are learning, too. They're learning. They haven't hung up from, or, you know, untuned us.
Untuned
us. I know. Really, I'm so.
You haven't been able to disconnect everybody.
So lifeedited.com, and I wasn't able to go there before the show, but what's going on lifeedited.com?
Well, it's in partnership and working with Tree Hugger, and so it's on the Tree Hugger site.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a new site, and we'll definitely be expanding it, but the way that I started the project out was I bought a 420-square-foot apartment in Manhattan, And then I worked with Jivoto.com, who run these crowdsourced design contests, and I basically put together a really aggressive brief. So I wanted to be able to, I wanted to be designed for a couple. I wanted to be able to work at home. I wanted to be able to store all my kite gear, and I wanted to be able to have guests over in a civil manner, as well as sit down dinner for 12. So I was asking for a lot from a really small space, and the Jivoto contest brought in 300 entries from around the world, all really beautiful stuff. And we picked one, which ended up being from a Romanian architecture student. And we're just in the process of sort of making it real and building it out. So that'll be done in the fall. And then I have a couple, I bought a little land in Maui, and I have another 350-square-foot place. And so the site's sort of a repository for Tree Hugger's written some great articles all on small living, on furniture and architectural design and editing your life and that sort of stuff. And we'll grow it out, but we're trying to basically help give people the resources so that they can make these changes and so they can save some money, lower their footprints, and be happier. Because I think one thing that people don't realize or aren't so conscious of is just that often stuff really ends up owning you when you have a lot of stuff to worry about and maintain, and it just ends up taking a lot of time, and by getting rid of a lot of stuff and having less stuff, now having some great stuff. Like, this is not saying, hey, don't have any stuff. You can have some great stuff right. That you really love, stuff
like
that you
quality,
love
yeah.
for a long time. But that'll make you happier.
Less is more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site now. Jesse was able to get it up. Our little silent Jesse here, our associate producer, is helping me out, and it's beautiful, and it feels very European to me, and we were talking about this before the show, how
they're ahead of the curve.
They've been doing this for a lot longer than we have.
For the same reasons, it's that their spaces and their cities have been so much smaller. They've had to, by necessity, design in smaller, more efficient, effective ways.
We're just slower.
That's right.
Well, that's all great. I'm so excited about this stuff because it is something we've been talking about more and more. So I'm really glad we got a chance to talk to you, Graham. And anything else you want to tell our listeners about?
Tree Hugger's getting about 5 million people a month. It's a really great site. So if you're the listeners who haven't been there, it's a really great resource. We have like 60,000 articles on there at this point, and a really, really good newsletter that you can sign up for. So there's a daily and a weekly. And so if you like this sort of stuff, please follow Tree Hugger.
Yeah, we repost and mention and link to Tree Hugger. It's a great resource all the time. Thanks so much for taking the time, and I apologize for hanging up. Well, actually, technically, Scott hung up on me, but
stay off the board, Scott.
Buttons.
Have a good weekend.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Rob. You guys have a good weekend, too.
Not that one.
I think I did it. Yeah, this is the first time I think I've been working two rows, and we really got
it. It was
crazy.
Fine. It was just
a minor
interruption.
Yeah. I'm glad to say I'm still here.
Yeah, I didn't disconnect you this time. Well, and it's a little harder when you're away, but I think we'll get used to it because it's nice to have a little report from away.
Away.
I I love being able to share some of the places that I travel to.
Now, I wanted to backtrack just for a minute to listener email and listener responses, because last week we had a pretty intense discussion about GMOs and genetically engineered food. And it did spark a lot of comments on our care2.com post. And it didn't occur to me to get some of those. And also, we got a lot of comments on our poll, which is fun.
Oh,
we do these little polls on Facebook from time to time. And I do like to mention that we do get a lot of comments. And I mean to mention them. But this woman wrote to us at info at the Green Divas. Her name is Joanne T. And she's from Seattle, Washington. And she was, remember last week, Lisa, in the middle of our discussion, I think you brought up the environmental working group's Dirty Dozen?
Yes.
And one of the ones that was of the, what is it, the Clean 15?
Yes.
One of them was corn. And you remember when you said it, I balked.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
and
this woman really caught that and was just highly concerned and upset and freaked out. And I let her know that that wasn't our recommendation, that we didn't say it was clean.
Oh, it was info sharing is what it was.
Well, yeah, once I clarified that, I was off the hook for that. But I
say that Environmental Working Group really does do their homework. I don't know exactly why corn was on their list at that time, but and I would venture to check out through them about why that is. But I do, they're very thorough in their research.
Yeah, they are. I mean, but I still wonder, because corn being, a lot of it being genetically modified.
Right. This is not a genetically modified list. This was in
organic.
Terms of safety of eating through pesticides and how these plants are grown.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily about GMO.
But she had a lot of good information, which I can't repeat now necessarily. But I'm going to try to post some of it just, you know, because I think...
Please do.
It's worthy, and we do appreciate people that take the time to comment, but to comment thoughtfully and give us information that we might not have. And, you know, we're obviously still learning.
Well, there's so much information out there. And you know, like with this subject, I mean, the fact that, you know, corn is on the, you know, Clean 15, and then you have, you know, the film like King of Corn.
King Corn.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of information out there. And true, there's so many different types of corn, and corn is used in so much. It's like soybean. I mean,
there's corn.
Oh, well, there's fruit, feed corn.
Whatever,
there's corn for, you know, being consumed by humans. It's there's so many different types, and there's different types that are modified.
Did you see that post I did on the Facebook page about the fish? Did you see the fish with the glowing eyes?
Yes, glowing eyes.
But that was about fish that are now eating the plastic that's in the ocean, and it is showing up in them. You know, the fish that we eat. In other words, in you know, our food source fish are now showing up with plastic molecules.
That is so frightening.
Well, it is. I think they were, you know, kind of dramatizing it with the fish with the blue eyes, but it got the point across. It was kind of ugly.
Uh-huh.
It was ugly. So anyway, and we do get lots of interesting comments about everything. So please, folks, thank you for putting up with us this week.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you for sharing with us, but... stay tuned all week long during the week through Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook, our website, and Twitter.
And the website is thegreendivas.com.
Thank you. She's good at that even remotely.
Yeah, remotely.
I know. Remotely. Ha, ha, ha. But, I'm on Twitter at Green Diva Meg. And I don't know if these guys have gotten their act together, but we're working on it. Anyway, have a great... Oh, I just want to mention that next week we have Susan Finkel, who has written a book called Plastic, speaking of plastic in the oceans, Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. And you can go to our website to find out the rest of the schedule. So have a great green week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.